Welcome to the realm of heroes and monsters. Storytime with your host, A.P. Fuchs. Stories of intrigue, stories of horror, stories of superheroics, stories of monsters. Get ready, the thrill ride begins. Welcome to a new episode of the Realm of Heroes and Monsters Storytime with me, your host, AP Fuchs. And also the last episode, if you're on the watch listen version, where we got the big Winterbeard going on, because later on this thing is going to be shaved off and it's time for spring mode. So, you're going to be different in this one, in the next one, rather. Anyway, we got a really cool story coming up. It's one, it kind of plays into a type of story stuff that I've been doing off and on throughout the years, and it's a war scenario but with different monsters. So coming up soon, you're going to get a really cool war tale with a certain monster that we all recognize, and I want you guys to tune in for that. So be sure to tune into that after the story before the story segment. And speaking of story before the story, I mean, there's a lot of things that we covered this season in terms of how story affects everything in life, and how there's different types of stories and versions of stories and methods of storytelling that happens both in our heads, in our physical lives, and in the lives of others, and all the rest. And we've been over a lot of ground, and I'm hoping I don't run out of material before the season is over. So that being said, let's get into some material and let's go to story before the story. A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away, we used to take pictures, not like you do on your phone, but with a good old-fashioned film camera. Back in the day, film cameras were expensive. They were special to use because film wasn't cheap. So you'd get, depending on your roll, 12 to 24 shots, and that's it. And you only get one shot to get the picture right. So if you have no way of checking if the picture turned out either. Because again, this is pre-digital era, right? Everything's on film. So what's interesting about that, though, is I have, growing up, my parents had taken, not all the time, because again, it's very expensive at the time, but pictures of different things that happened, you know, special events, first days of school, that kind of stuff. And what's interesting is when you go through these pictures, they automatically prompt stories. I mean, every picture is a memory, right? And some stuff, yeah, all of us, you know, we can't remember this particular event happening. But there's other ones where we look at the picture and suddenly we're taken on a storyscape, right? We remember the moment. We remember the events surrounding it. We remember the little tale that went into these events. And the idea here is just simply saying that the old cliche, so to speak, that a picture is worth 1,000 words. And it is in some cases. And in the cases of photo book memories, oh, they're probably more than 1,000 words, you know. And I just find it interesting how we could look at any image as we're going through, you know, whether it's our own photo albums, whether it's someone else's photo albums, whether now modern day scrolling through phones, or you're in a store and there's, you know, they have art up on the wall, or there's art that you could take home for decoration or whatever, you know, go to the comic shop, all sorts of cool posters. But what's interesting is you look at these different images and they evoke a story. Right, and the story could be anything. I mean, in the comic book example, you get a, you know, comic book poster. You might get start weaving a story around how the artists got their stuff together and got all together to get you this nice image. In regards to like pictures and stuff, suddenly we're going down memory lane. We're instantly triggered and we're instantly swept up in a story because of an image. So it shows that images and words are intertwined, which is why I always touted like comic books as the perfect medium, because it has both. And you could do a lot with both within that medium. And it's just demonstrated, again, in real life, pictures evoke memories, they evoke feelings, they evoke thoughts. And that being said, it automatically dictates the story the second you look at a picture. So that's something to keep in mind next time you're picture looking. Pay attention to how much a story will pop up in your head about it, whether it's a story you think about it or whether it's a story involving it that actually happened. So once again, stories are everywhere, and even images get us all triggered up. All right, now it's time for story time. Get ready for World War V. World War V. Wolfgang Schultz pulled von Hitler into the ditch the moment von Hitler got hit. He didn't know von Hitler's first name and thought it best he never asked the man. In war, it was a good idea not to get too close to your fellow soldier, even if it was with something as simple as a first name. Actually, Wolfgang thought, a person's name is everything. It's who they are, their identity, their life. Von Hitler howled in agony, then said, "How bad is it?" Wolfgang surveyed the wound. It was in the calf, good and deep. The pant leg surrounding it was torn to shreds from the attack. The wound gushed blood. "It isn't so bad," Wolfgang shouted above the din of gunfire. "Yeah, right." Von Hitler gripped Wolfgang hard by the arm. "Don't lie to me. It hurts like hell, and I'm afraid to look." Wolfgang took in the wound again. Blood pooled on the ground beside the leg, and already the surrounding veins were puffy and pressing against the skin's surface, snaking up the leg in gooey worms of pale green. Von Hitler pulled him in close, face to face. "Tell me." "It's not good," Wolfgang said. "I'm sorry." Explosions rocked the area just beyond the ditch, and the wailing cries of men filled the air. "Take it off," von Hitler said. "You could die. I'm dead if you don't. You could be dead if I do." Von Hitler's strong hands clamped around either side of Wolfgang's head, and he drew him in so close their noses pressed together. "Do it, or I'll kill you." Wolfgang knew what he meant, and simply nodded. He tore off the shredded fabric around the wound, straightened the material, then tied it as a tourniquet just above von Hitler's knee, hoping to close off the femoral artery. Von Hitler screeched. Without saying a word, Wolfgang withdrew the machete strapped to his back, then firmly took von Hitler's hand in his. "Be strong, my friend." He wished he had rum or whiskey to quickly get his friend a drink and get him all drunk to help him with the pain, but he had nothing. Even his canteen was empty. Von Hitler clamped his teeth together and grimaced. After a slight nod, his head fell back, and Wolfgang thought he'd already lost him. "Hitler!" The man didn't reply. Wolfgang checked for a pulse. It was there. It wasn't too late. Not yet, anyway. Just as he was about to sever the leg, one of the enemy appeared at the top of the ditch. Wolfgang spun to face him and charged him head on. The enemy opened his mouth in a hissy war cry, but Wolfgang's own scream drowned him out. He plunged the machete into the enemy's heart, withdrew the blade, then plunged in again. The enemy dropped. Another nearby grenade explosion sent Wolfgang flying backward into the ditch. Ears ringing and head spinning, he fumbled for the machete that fell beside him, then crawled over to his friend's leg. Von Hitler's entire lower leg was covered in a spiderweb of infected veins. Wolfgang drove the blade down, just like a saw, just below the knee, the initial deep cut rousing von Hitler from unconsciousness with a scream. Von Hitler sat up and lashed out at him. For his friend's own good, Wolfgang punched him a few times in the face, then gave him a violent right hook across the temple, sending him back under. Back to work cutting the leg, blood sprayed everywhere as Wolfgang saw it through the flesh and bone, the tourniquet not doing its job. "No matter," Wolfgang thought, "it might be better this way." He saw it through the remainder of flesh, then tossed the severed limb aside. He needed to get von Hitler out of there. He sheathed his blade, then went to get his friend over his shoulder so he can get him away from the thick of the battle. Von Hitler's dead weight wasn't easy to sling over his body, but he managed to get the man on top of him and started the steep climb up the other side of the ditch and away from the main battleground. Von Hitler's body jerked, and he awoke with a hiss, the sudden movement sending Wolfgang to his knees. Oh no. He immediately reached for the tourniquet and let the blood leak out. It might be the only way to save his friend. The venom. The vampire venom. In the bloodstream. If it hadn't made its way through von Hitler's entire circulatory system, his comrade might be okay. Blood poured from the wound in a thick, steady flow. Wolfgang hopped and hoped. The poison drained with it, but even with it, even if the effort was a success, he doubted his friend would make it. At least, he supposed, Von Hilder would die without becoming one of them. Hands gripped Wolfgang's shoulders, and it took him a moment to realize Von Hilder was fully conscious. Von Hilder pushed himself off and floated backward in the air and hovered before his former ally, his eyes bloodshot, his skin ashen. Tears rimmed the bottom of Wolfgang's eyes. No. So sorry, my friend. Von Hilder's red eyes bore into him, his severed leg still running blood. The leg would heal, Wolfgang knew, and eventually grow back. But it was too late. His friend, a vampire. He had failed. Von Hilder sped through the air, toward a mouth open, fang sharp. Before Wolfgang could reach for his machete to plunge it into Von Hilder's heart, his friend had already bitten to his neck. The sting of the venom tearing through his veins sent Wolfgang sprawling on the ground. His fight was over. His fight in World War V. Gracias, senores and senoritas, for sticking around to after the credits. This is a very simple announcement. My website is back up and running, finally. Really quickly, long story short, is apparently some auto-generated file that occurred within the WordPress site violated my hoster's hosting rules, I guess. I don't know how it works. I don't understand that part of it, how a simple file can do that, but it does. So they shut down the site, and long story short, it was a case of them turning it back on, me trying to go fix it, and then the site was back off again, and on this went. Anyway, before recording this episode, I was on the horn with them, and we got it all straightened out, and so far as I was told, everything should be smooth on the website going forward, meaning no more the site has stepped out for a bit pages that will show up. So hopefully if you go to apfuchs.ca or canisterx.com, same place, it will be up and running for you, and there's lots of content there, so please be sure to check it out. This podcast is also available there. The audio-only format, of course, because it's a podcast, those are audios. But you could also download episodes for later listening pleasure, that sort of stuff. And all I ask in return is don't use my stuff for AI, okay? Thank you. Anyway, cheers. See you next week.